go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking for a full hour with Major Fred Galvin of the United States Marine Corps, now retired, man who has, with six of his comrades in arms, been subjected to a kind of, well, torture, I think it's fair to say, at the hands of both the enemy, for sure, in the form of an ambush that was conducted for the purposes of trying to kill him and his Fox Company men, but also, to be honest, by his own commanders, not in every case, but in a number of them, in ways that clearly engaged a level of command influence, indeed interference, it would seem, with an then ongoing investigation into what was the nature of the ambush, how did he conduct himself. Major, when we stopped, you were talking about this reaching the level of the Commandant of the Marine Corps and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff making misstatements about your conduct in this very difficult situation. Have any of the people who have been involved in these comments, General Nicholson, Lieutenant General Kearney, General Peter Pace, General Jim Conway, corrected the record after they made these misstatements?
No, unfortunately, they have not over the past 10 years. And when, like in General Kearney's case, he sent out an 11-page media release on the 11th of April stating that, you know, several women and children were killed, and then that the Marines got out, went back to the scene, and intimidated seven journalists and an alleged cover-up. You can't really walk that back and say, I'm sorry, as a 3-star or 4-star general. So, and as they were beginning to determine what to do in our case, the number of Afghan alleged civilian deaths continued to grow from 8 to 10 to 12 to 16. And then Colonel Nicholson stated he just gave out money, $2,000 per person who was allegedly killed, to 19, because that was, he said, he, in his own words on a video testimony, he defaulted to the higher number of 19 civilians killed, 50 wounded. So that's what the Marine Corps sent 45 criminal investigators and 6 prosecuting attorneys to figure out. Well, this, all these people are saying this, that the head of a country, Hamid Karzai, is stating this. It's in the international press. The commandant said to the chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, who said in a press brief that the commandant of the Marine Corps is very disappointed in us. Now we've got to take some kind of investigative procedures and end up sorting this out in some form of a court, which happened the following year.
Let me just interrupt for just 1 second, Major, because one of the things that you said, which I think most of us are unaware of, is that, again, it sort of is part of this hearts and mind, well, I guess sort of the counterinsurgency strategy, coin strategy as well. We were actually going to considerable expense to compensate people who claimed that they'd lost a family member in the course of U.S. military operations. That would be, by, I think, any reasonable definition, an incentive to people to come forth, however fraudulently, and claim that they were thus victimized. And based on what you saw and what you all did and what the Court of Inquiry found, it would seem as though, notwithstanding all of these comments, notwithstanding the various prominent people who made them and the ways in which they communicated them publicly, they were simply wrong.
Yes, in the Naval Criminal Investigative Service sent their investigators after they interrogated our Marines in Kuwait. They sent those investigators to Afghanistan, and their findings, as was written in all the reports and testified on the record in the court, that several of these Afghans had said that they had lied. They admitted that to the investigator, and they said that they were told by their tribal elder to come and make a claim so that they could get money. And you did hit it on the head, but I mean, $2,000 of American taxpayers' dollars is the equivalent of 4 years average Afghan salary at that time. So if the same thing happened here in America, $52,000 annual salary. So if people were getting just shy of $250,000 to show no proof, we'd probably have more than 19 people lined up to get that payment.
And Major Fred Galvin, again, one of the things that is so infuriating about all of this is that while you can understand people were embarrassed to have staked out these sorts of positions and to have acted on the basis of false information or under, you know, political pressure, when they failed to correct the record, when they failed to take ownership for having misstated or acted in a manner that was unwarranted, in many cases, they were rewarded with promotions and new command positions. And just very briefly, sir, tell us, if you could, quickly, what happened to you and the Marines who were wrongly accused, wrongly vilified, and wrongly, as it happens, punished in terms of your career?
Very good point. NCIS, I believe, was given a definite, from what they stated in the records they gave us, this was akin to Haditha, which is another war crimes trial that occurred from a situation in Iraq. So they went into this. That was their very initial statement that was part of the record that we received in the investigation. So there was a bias. We went, we were kicked out. One of our Marines, who was of Latino descent, immigrated from Mexico. He was threatened, and that's a crime, coercing a witness. And he eventually signed a pre-made statement by NCIS stating that our gunner in his vehicle, the second vehicle, fired wildly, and they threatened to deport his family unless he signed that. He signed that, and that came out on the record in the court of inquiry. That Marine's body to this day has shut down the production of testosterone. The other Marine who was a co-defendant in trial with me, he ended up getting cancer. His senior enlisted, which was one of the seven named in that preliminary investigation, he got diabetes, and which he nearly died from. The three out of the four of us who were married had become divorced since then. And just a lot of career and medical setbacks have occurred with this type of betrayal when NCIS is gunning for a specific answer. And, you know, they said, after all the consistent statements, that the Marines' statements were inconsistent, the president of the Court of Inquiry clearly saw that that was not the case. The Marines stated the exact same actions that occurred during the ambush, but
they just happened to be the truth. And Major, I understand that you have also personally expended something on the order of $500,000 in legal expenses to try to clear your names.
Yes, when you're going through a nearly a year-long investigation, and then 3.5 weeks trial. That was the longest trial the Marine Corps had at the time of war crimes. And, you know, those are 10-hour days in the courtroom. There's preparation before and after. And then there was a four-month waiting period to get that release that was dumped on Friday night of Memorial Day weekend. And I've still been trying to this day through Congress. A gentleman from North Carolina has been fighting very aggressively, Walter B. Jones, to make sure that we have our names completely cleared. Because the effects to this day, when you are branded and blackballed as someone who's killed wholesale, you know, women and children in another country, that has affected all of us in our ability in order to become properly employed.
It's despite what happened, not because you've been properly treated. I want to commend everybody, and we'll do again in the next segment, of Congressman Walter B. Jones' resolution aimed at exonerating the MARSOC 7 and their commanding officer, Major Fred Galvin. We'll be back with him for a final segment right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.